and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name is Robert Norse. I'll be your host for the next 2.5 hours. We're going to be covering some topics familiar to some of you, perhaps new to others, the civil rights violations against homeless people in Santa Cruz, police problems on the streets against citizens generally, something about the drug war. I'm going to be covering some of the international and national developments from the latest High Times magazine, a particularly good issue. I recommend it. We'll have some interviews. Hopefully, we're going to get a call in from Tough Love Laura Tucker, formerly a board member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, a homeless woman at one point and a homeless mom. I think she's got a home now. She's really concerned about how the police are acting on the streets of Santa Cruz and how the bureaucrats are treating people who are they're paid to serve, namely homeless people. We're going to be looking ahead to protests coming up and public meetings coming up around issues that concern poor folks. Specifically, of course, there's the ongoing controversy around the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban. That's the law that makes it illegal for homeless people, or anyone actually, but of course it impacts homeless people primarily. Makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep outside between 11 and 8:30 in the morning, or in a vehicle, or in actually any structure that is not a domicile, with some very narrow exceptions. The law has resulted in the criminalization of literally thousands of homeless people over the last 20 years, and supposedly there was a mandate to change this law at the last election when a landslide vote put in 3 new council members, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar. These 3, however, have refused to come forward and take a leading role in this issue, instead hanging back, equivocating, hiding behind Mayor Byers, claiming they don't have the votes. Mayor Byers is indeed probably the 4th swing vote, but that's not the point. The point is when you're elected to do something, you're elected to do something. You're not elected to pretend you're going to wait until everybody else agrees with you. In any case, we're going to be looking at selections from the last city council meeting on February 23rd. There was a 7-hour debate, essentially a tempest in a teapot, since the city council wasn't considering anything of substance, really. That is to say, a place where homeless people could literally go to sleep legally somewhere in Santa Cruz. That was not up for discussion, thanks to Mayor Catherine Byers, who essentially removed it from the agenda. For very brief periods of time, it was put back on in the last minute slapdash kind of thing by council members Crone and Sugar, but these actions were taken at such a late date and with so little consultation and preparation that they seemed to be almost gestures or sort of spontaneous, sporadic kind of impulses that they had that didn't really indicate a continuing desire to proceed with advocacy for homeless people at the most basic level. If you can't get past the sleeping ban, where are you going to go after that? You know, I mean, that really is the question that I have. We wasted a huge amount of time on this very, very should be trivial issue, the right of homeless people to sleep. You cannot criminalize people for sleeping. It's a form of torture. It's a form of unconstitutional abuse of basic human rights. I mean, why should one have to talk about this again and again? Well, because the city council doesn't want homeless people around in visible places, or let's put it this way, it's ruled and dominated by those forces that would prefer to keep things as they are, and which a whole series of unjust laws are in force. Now, for those of you who have been around through the civil rights struggles of the 50s and 60s and, well, the many decades before, you know this is not an old story, that we are constantly fighting an unjust, institutionalized system which oppresses many different groups of people and does so without even talking about it, thinking about it, or making any bones about it. We're the ones that have to make the bones about it, and that's really our job, that's my job, that's your job. And I hope that's one of the reasons you're going to stay tuned to Free Radio today and to this show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We air twice a week, Sundays at 11 in the morning till 1:30 in the afternoon, and Tuesdays from 6 to 8 in the evening. Our call-in number, if you want to join us on the air, is 427-3772. Again, 427-3772. We're going to be speaking soon to attorney Catnip Kate Wells, as I call her, one of the few attorneys, along with attorney Tony Bowl, another attorney concerned with homeless affairs, that is willing to really stand up in the courts and address issues of homeless civil rights, although she's very much overburdened. And we are hopefully, over all you attorneys listening in with a little free time on your hands, or possibly the need to do a little committing, get back into the which would maybe put you into the law originally, not just trying to make money, but trying to really help people There's no one more deserving and more needing of help than people who are being denied such things as the right to sleep, the right to be present in public spaces. They're like blacks in the South, in the segregation era. Well, they're like blacks in the North today who are getting stopped by police for driving while black. They're like folks in Bosnia who are of the wrong ethnic origin. They're like women in many cases who get treated in a discriminatory fashion because of their gender. It is a civil rights issue, folks, a civil rights issue. You cannot deny people a basic right to sleep somewhere. We have a call coming in. A little trouble here as we deal with the rather primitive equipment. Hopefully we'll get something going here.
I think, yes. We have a cranky phone line, but caller, go ahead, see what we can do with you.
Okay. This is Marlon of Operation Homeless of Santa Cruz County, Robert.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm calling in is because I contacted the governor's office, Governor Gray Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Contacted his secretary, and they're going to be sending me some material out how we can do this here in Santa Cruz County.
Mm-hmm. What exactly, Carlin, what exactly did you ask the governor for? What were you looking for from the governor?
Well, the thing is, try to see if they could get the situation here in Santa Cruz straightened out. Get into with the city, the county.
What specific situation are you referring to?
Well, see if we can get decent places where the homeless people that need places to stay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one priority. Mm-hmm. That's
I know that San Jose recently reported that they got a huge federal grant, and they have put up a small but significant number of homeless families that had previously been sheltered in a church illegally by the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry under Scott and Nancy Nichols and Scott Wagers, Pastor Wagers. And it certainly, I know that the biggest chunk of federal money that I'm aware of that the city has gotten, or is it the city and the county, I'm not sure which, but for the Community House project, which you know, does provide 30, 40 spaces for kind of transitional spaces. It's kind of like halfway house prison spaces. You can't have private contact with people in the rooms. You know, there are sort of guards as you come in and out.
Right.
There, as you come in, you're,
right.
You know, it's a strange situation for adults to be in simply because they're homeless, not because, I mean, these aren't people who go into this with drug problems.
Sure.
And this is a Community House project. Anyway, they got hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think a total cost of several million dollars federal money went into this, and I certainly, you know, when one wants to see more spaces opened up.
Sure.
I guess, you know, I don't know. It would be nice if the state federal, if it passed out of the federal government, well, it'd be nice if the feds took an aggressive prosecutorial role demanding that cities not oppress homeless people and not,
right.
not engage in those kinds of violations.
Right. Not to push them around. I also contacted Supervisor Jan Butte of my district,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you know, this homeless situation, people have to have places to live,
mm-hmm.
and they can be shuffled, I mean, they can be pushed around.
Right, well, there's certainly nothing wrong with contacting your supervisor. I'm going to advise people shortly that we're planning to go to Supervisor Marty Wormhout on Monday at 5:00 when she has a pre-Board of Supervisors meeting with constituents
right.
at the Java Junction, which is at, it's a coffee house at, I guess it's East Cliff and Seabright Avenue. It's 5:00 Monday tomorrow.
Okay.
And there's a Board of Supervisors meeting, as you probably know,
right.
at 9:00 on Tuesday. Every day, every week, they have such a meeting. It's on the fifth floor of the,
right.
the county building, which is at 701 Ocean Street. So for those who want to challenge and to demand and to, or to just, if you're not into demanding but you're into requesting, that's fine.
Right.
Whatever kind of tone you want to take, I think it's great, that, Arlen, that you're you and Operation Homelessness, Operation Homeless, is that what
right.
it is? Are putting out this, you know, this request.
That's right. I'm like a referral type service. If somebody calls in, I tell them who to contact.
So if people want to contact you, Owen, do you have a number that they can contact
you? Yes, I do. My home mm-hmm. and office number is, if the number is 831-475-9229.
475-9229?
That's correct.
And so for anyone out there who wants to get some referrals on maybe even how to get involved in activism and how to, what exactly does what do you do? I don't want to speak for you, Arlen.
Well, I'm a referral type service. I work out of my house.
What do you refer people to?
To the Community Action Board of Santa Cruz.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The Santa Cruz Community Action Board.
Uh-huh. And what, for example, what kind of a problem would a person call you with?
Well, like, say, one gentleman called me here about, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when I first got this rolling about 1990, back then. He called me, the gentleman called me, and he said, my car's going to be towed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're with a gentleman that I know, Robert, I don't know if you know him. His name is, Nicholas Whitehead?
Yeah, Nicholas Whitehead is, of course, works with a group called SPAN, Stop
right.
Police Abuse Now, and he also is a video journalist. He works with video for community television
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
is involved with the Alliance for Democracy.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He's
right.
a
beautiful guard. Yeah, I got a hold of him at his home, and he said, okay, we'll take care of this thing right now. So, the gentleman called me back, and he had his car stored.
So that's the kind of problem that folks should call you about. Again, give us your number, and I want to thank you for calling in.
Okay, my number again is, area code is 831.
Uh-huh.
My office and home phone number is 475-9229.
475-9229. Well, that's
right.
Great. Thank you very much, Arlen, and call in again.
Okay, I sure will. And you have a good day, Robert.
All right.
Have a very good day.
Thank you.
For my friend here hasn't been himself for a long time. From the beginning of his minding, other people did some don'ts. He could excuse himself, but he won't. And I'm sorry if we busted up your party. I told you all the way, my friend, and I could not explain you.
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. That was an old cut from Peter, Paul, and Mary, Late Again. We're going to be really moving into a week of meetings. There is, of course, a protest today, kind of more of an organizational meeting, but possibly a little shouting and spouting and walking and talking down in front of New Leaf at 2 o'clock. And we're hoping that we'll get a call from Just Man Jim Costner, who puts his finger on the pulse of that protest and has put a lot of energy into it. We had a diminution. There weren't too many people who showed up last week at this protest, less than we'd hoped for. And indeed, there's a kind of a gloom that has settled over a lot of us in the community, seeing how little the city council is committed to doing around the issue of the basic human right of homeless people to sleep. And this has just put a lot of people in a position of feeling that there's really nothing they can do, they don't know what to do. There is a city council meeting scheduled for Tuesday, which isn't going to have the sleeping ban on the agenda, and then another one on March 23rd, which has the cosmetic changes coming back. We're going to talk about that, but first let's take this call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. This is Brian.
Hey, Brian. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit, hopefully from a little bit more positive side than this hopelessness that you talk about, because I do see it as a dialogue opening up between the council and the community, but you do kind of have an accurate portrayal of the sense that the council is not really, how shall I say, fulfilling its duty as employees of the people, representatives of the people. And I guess I want to just address the last city council meeting I went to where I read from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Is this February 23rd, the last?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's where that went on for 7.5 hours, I remember.
It did,
that.
It was quite long.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was quite telling, too. I mean, the majority of the people there were in support of repealing the sleeping ban, and the few people who were there against it, I really think are just arguing a different point entirely. And
unfortunately, those few people are sitting in seven raised seats on the dais.
Well, yeah, and then I was also speaking
the
of the people who sit in the very far back,
right?
And claim that, you know, those of us who speak against the sleeping ban are in some sort of, you know, vocal minority.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then it did go on for quite a while, and then when they got to the council dialogue portion, Councilmember Rockin addressed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and basically said that, you know, it was a big problem when it was formed 50 years ago that it had no...
You know, I'd like to think that Councilmember Rockin undressed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, because one of the things the City Council proposed, one of the things was that it would be legal for people to sleep provided they didn't cover up with blankets.
Yeah.
So in essence, it's okay to be naked out there and freeze your ass off, but if you try to cover yourself with a blanket, it's going to be illegal.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I wanted to interrupt you with that brief comment.
Definitely, and I think it's very relevant. And the unfortunate part for me is that it seems to be kind of a regression into what I remember in the Reagan administration dialogue, especially from Gene Kirkpatrick, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., calling the Declaration of Human Rights a quote-unquote Christmas list. And then Councilmember Rockin specifically said that it had no teeth in it. And I think that speaks very chillingly about what perhaps he views as political legitimacy. It has to have teeth in it. For instance, you know, Nazi Germany's laws against the poor had teeth in them. Pinochet's regime in Chile had teeth in it. The sleeping ban has teeth in it, as people all too well know. But when I was talking about just the council's actual job, they should view it as their job to put teeth into the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and any, you know, law against sleep basically exposes their complete unwillingness to use such a document as the foundation for their decisions. And so that does speak to the disappointment that you spoke of earlier, but I think if the dialogue continues, we can really put a lot of pressure on these people and expose their true motivations and concerns and constituencies. I mean, they don't see their constituency as all people.
No.
Which is unfortunate, I think.
Well, what kinds of pressure, Brian, do you suggest we use? Because, you know, we have been calling into the city council, and I continue to suggest to people they call 420-5020. You can do it, actually, even as you sit here on Sunday listening to your radio, 420-5020, mm-hmm. and then push the 1 key, and it'll put you into a voicemail to the city council and say, 1, please start tolling or start tallying these calls again,
yeah.
because they've stopped tallying the calls. And secondly, this is nothing that you're doing. This is a joke. This is some sort of a slap on the face after people have spent 20 years suffering and then 3 months intensively working on something to throw this in people's face. It's just, you know, it's a real insult. It's and it adds insult to the injury of the sleeping band. So, I mean, one can call the city council at 420-5020, push the 1 key. One could show up at the protest today at 2. But you're on campus? What's your situation?
Yeah, I'm on campus, and as far as just activity on campus, I'm involved with the Rascals, who I believe invited you to speak to a debate with Councilmember Rockin last year.
Indeed.
I unfortunately miss out on that. But
well, I was chastised for being too harsh with Councilmember Rockin. I called him a liar on a number of occasions. I think that's been borne out by the facts. He continues to trot out the same misinformation about magnet theory.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about, actually, we'll probably play the magnet theory cut next. Are you near a radio? Can you actually hear us?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and I think it has unfortunately been a tactic of people who are opposing repealing the sleeping ban to attack the activists as being rude, as being disrespectful. You know, I think a lot of Mayor Byers' censoring of you has been based on not, you know, really anything that I view as inappropriate other than, you know, perhaps raising your voice or, I mean, not even that. I think you've been quite polite, but, you know, using that as a way to kind of quelch the debate.
Yeah, I've got to admit, when I hear a lie from the city council, I've made a comment or two, and since they allow so little public comment, at least in terms of any particular individual. Mm-hmm. We had hoped, you know, you get 3 minutes. One would have hoped that a public hearing organizations would have gotten 5 minutes, but Byers didn't allow that. She claims that the last set of that meeting you were at on February 23rd, when we talked about the sleeping ban, it wasn't a public hearing. It was some pre-public hearing thing. And indeed, there will be a public hearing on the 23rd, and people can speak there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
Tuesday it's not on the agenda at all.
This Tuesday there is, I do not believe it's, no, it's coming back on the 23rd, and I think to some extent, I have no proof of this, but it certainly is coincidental that the student break starts on the 20th, right?
Right.
So many of the people who filled that chamber were students from Students Against the Sleeping Ban,
mm-hmm.
will not be there. We're going to have to find folks, homeless people are not allowed to come, of course, because they didn't have, those who were using the Winter Armory shelter did not have a ride up there. We tried repeatedly, we put together money to pay the driver. The Homeless Services Center would not arrange for a driver to be available for that evening.
Yeah.
And Karen Gillette wasn't there. She didn't arrange to do anything either. She's the head of the Homeless Services Center. So we were, you know, at some disadvantage. But as you point out, almost everybody in the room with this small core of hardcore, I would have to say, anti-homeless folks, they don't see themselves as anti-homeless, and
right.
they wouldn't like to be so described. But they oppose basic civil rights for the homeless, not just in their neighborhood, which is the downtown neighborhood, but everywhere in the city, which I find astonishing and counterproductive and bigoted, frankly. I mean, that's how it seems to me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had a whole room full of people who, just as we did on December 8th, before the winter set in, where we asked them, almost every single speaker on December 8th spoke about ending the sleeping ban. Here we had a few who wanted to keep the entire camping ordinance on the February 23rd. But the council had no real response to this. There was not a word said about shelter. There was, you know, I mean, Sugar and Crone made these last-minute attempts to do something, which might have had some force had they gotten together with people beforehand and tried to anticipate the kinds of objections that would arise. Unfortunately, you know, I'm of the opinion that they are, I became afraid that they were incompetent after seeing their performance on February 23rd,
mm-hmm.
because they have studied the sleeping ban for months. They know, although they never allowed it up for discussion, you should know, in the task force meetings. The issue of the sleeping ban repeal initiative never came up for discussion. They didn't say have any discussion whatsoever about it, even though 3,000 voters said, look, let's make it legal for homeless people to sleep somewhere in the city, not everywhere, but somewhere.
When was that?
That was last year, and this initiative was circulated for 6 months. It did fail short. They didn't get the 3,900 votes that needed to put on the make a special election or actually put it on the November ballot. But it, you know, it did garner 3,000 registered voters of the city of Santa Cruz, which is a significant number of people. And for them to completely ignore it, I'm talking Byers, Crone, and Sugar, not to mention the other, you know, folks, Matthews, Rodkin, Hernandez, and the ever chameleon-like Fitzmaurice, you know, doing this stuff.
I vaguely remember that, and I believe I, as a registered Santa Cruz voter, I did sign it. But as you say, it didn't make it onto any sort of ballot. And I mean, I guess that would be a way, perhaps, to, you know, push the struggle forward, would be to push that forward again. Because I'm at least confident in this community that if a dialogue is based on an election, that the truth can come out. And, it certainly is a possibility, but at the same time, you know, there's definitely this imperative that something needs to happen now. This whole idea, I mean, that's basically what the Chambers of Commerce wants, what the Downtown Association wants, is just, well, let's continue to think about it. Let's argue endlessly about what the consequences may be.
Uh-huh. Sure, until people get so tired, they say, we don't even want to bother to show up.
Yeah.
You know, Crone is proposing not bathrooms, but a task force on bathrooms. You know, I mean, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of a show you had perhaps last week where Crone was on the program.
Uh-huh.
Christopher Crone called up, and I was en route somewhere, and I had to leave. How did that go?
You know, I feel badly. I've got to apologize to all the callers and all the listeners because I felt that I didn't really hold Christopher Crone's feet to the fire the way I should have. I don't know if you were at the Pizza Junction about a week and a half ago. Well, Crone and Byers showed up, and we really lighted into him. We told him, I don't want to hear, call us up and talk to us, we're open-minded. I want to hear, I commit myself publicly here and now to making sleeping a basic human right, and I will introduce a measure at city council meeting immediately to do so, as we've been, you know, as they said they would do in their city council, their campaigns. He didn't actually, I mean, they have, in essence, run on one thing and then done another.
Yeah.
And this is a fundamental, this attacks their credibility at really a basic level. And one has to see what they're going to do on other issues. But in answer to your question, what he said was, he has a sort of a standard rap. And his rap is, I'm no longer an activist, I'm a council member now, and I have to go to, you know, everybody else and get a 70% approval from the city, and then we can proceed to consider these changes in any real way. And we're moving right ahead, we're moving forward, there are all kinds of meaningful changes being made, we've got a good start here. You know, it's all this kind of, in my mind, disingenuous, misleading, or deluded talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because while he's talking, people are getting, you know, their faces kicked in the bushes. While he's talking, people are hiding from sleeping tickets that police are now beginning to start giving again. I haven't heard of any new tickets in the last 4 or 5 days, but a week or two ago, there was an upsurge of tickets after the city council meeting when it seemed the police had been given the message by city council, there's going to be no change.
Well, and did the proposed changes as far as time of enforcement go through?
No.
Because those seem to be, to me, to be rather perplexing proposals because they did nothing but anger everyone again, including people who...
Well, it seems that Byers wants to exhaust the entire community's patience with this discussion so she can move on to another subject. You know,
yeah.
I mean, either that or she's completely incompetent. And frankly, I don't believe Catherine Byers is completely incompetent at all. I think she's been around for 10 years. She's very savvy. She knows the issues, and she wants to get rid of this hot potato. And the best way to get rid of it is to exhaust everybody with it. You know, that's the approach.
Yeah, but, I mean, it gets rid of it perhaps politically, but not realistically.
Yeah. Oh, you know, people continue to suffer. But, you know, we've seen how, you know, the Klan can lynch blacks in the South, and they can drag people's bodies behind trucks, and that can go on, and, you know, institutional discrimination can continue, and everybody can, you know, that has no impact on folks who run the country and folks who run Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
They don't care. I mean,
well, perhaps we need to, back to your earlier question about what sort of pressure we can put. At one of the rallies a couple weeks ago, I think a member of perhaps the Green Party spoke about pressure we can put on consumers, and I think that...
That was David Silva's plan of a rolling boycott.
Yeah, and that's maybe where we really need to go.
Well, are you doing any organizing on campus yourself, Brian?
Yeah, the Rascals.
You have a phone number that folks can call you at?
Yeah, I'm actually moving, so I don't want to, you know, give my home number and have my old housemates get that. But the best way to reach me would be email, vitology@cats.ucsc.edu.
Spell that out, could you?
vitalogy at cats.ucsc.edu.
And another way that folks can reach you if they don't have computer access
or
intermail access is to call Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, or HUF, and that number is easy to remember. It is 423-HUF-423-4833, and you just leave a message for Brian, and Brian, you should just call in every few days.
Yeah.
And I'll pass on to you, you know, whatever I get.
And also, if people are interested, tonight Leonard Weinglass, the attorney for Mumia Abu-Jamal, is speaking at Kresge Town Hall, and you can go to that and support that cause and get more information about Rascals and about other causes, because I think that's also a critical part of the movement, is connecting issues and realizing commonalities in various struggles, because, you know, capital's organized. Capital's got its act together. Resistance needs to be organized as well.
I agree, and actually Leonard Weinglass was here 2 years ago with Ramona Africa,
mm-hmm.
and she endorsed the civil disobedient protest that was going on and went on for 7.5 months in front of City Hall under the leadership of Dan Hopkins and Sean Alimi, where we tried to bring to the attention of the community, and did bring to the attention of the community somewhat, the realities of the sleeping ban. And
yeah.
one has to say that this is an educational process, of course, and that the more media this gets and the more people talk about it as we are talking about it, the more pressure there is to do something. And I actually think at this point there is more chance, not because of the city council's righteousness in any way, but because of the fact that more people know what's going on and more people are pissed.
Yeah.
We had a very good performance yesterday of Art and Revolution, which I don't know if you're familiar with that. But
yeah, I did see them. I was actually in front of the Gap handing out anti-sweatshop literature about their Saipan U.S. territory kind of labor contracting, and I saw them across the street performing.
They were, of course, are mock police officers,
yeah.
walking around giving mock sleeping ban tickets, and I thought they did a very good job.
Yeah, that was good.
And what I really have always hoped for is to get students and people who are in houses, particularly, as well as homeless people, involved in a daily high-profile protest downtown that just does not end, and puts sufficient pressure on the merchants, and the merchants then on the city council, for there to be a solution. And I think if we did the kind of stuff they were doing in Birmingham and Freedom Rider type stuff, which was happening in the late 50s and early 60s, we'd get somewhere.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But of course, that's a huge undertaking. And I'd love to see the Rascals. I know that you guys have been interested in the issue for some time.
Yeah.
And again, to get in touch with Brian by phone, the number to call is 423-HUF, 423-4833. Make sure you leave a message for Brian, and I'll pass it on to you.
Thank you.
Are there any other announcements you want to make on behalf of the Rascals?
Not other than, you know, to encourage people to check out Leonard Weinglass.
What time is that?
That's at 7 o'clock.
And where is that?
That's at Kresge Town Hall.
Mm-hmm. And that's free?
That's actually, it's a suggested donation of $5. The Rascals won't be doing the door. The door will be run by the Coalition to Free Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have the specifics as far as whether it's required, suggested, or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, just to encourage people to keep their eyes open, we're going to be starting the spring quarter out with a prison awareness week, with just various activities.
It would be nice if you had a focus on the people in jail in Santa Cruz.
Definitely.
That would be really great. We often hear about prisons that are distant and, you know, Leonard Peltier and other famous political prisoners, but we don't hear about the local people that we can actually put some pressure on, because something can be done about them here and now.
Definitely.
So that would be great. If people want to get in touch, please get in touch, 423-HUFF. And I want to thank you for calling, unless there's something more you wanted to say, Brian.
No, just thank you for, you know, keeping the dialogue alive. And I guess just in conclusion, with my activities downtown yesterday with the Gap, or whether it's with any sort of downtown rallies for homelessness, I think all of us, are very witness to a certain sense of apathy on the part of what is a growing consumer culture that, you know, seems to derive happiness through things rather than through relationships and community. So, you know, if people really need to make a decision about the nature of this town and, you know, students, community members, across the board, if, you know, these sorts of human rights issues are important to you, really get out on the street and you know, make your voice heard. And
yeah, come on, if you can, come on down to the protest at 2 o'clock today, or send a rascal down so we can kind of make contact. We're trying to start.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more then.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, Robert, it's Laura calling.
Laura Tucker.
You know, I appreciated your last phone call, that it went on for so long.
I apologize.
That I now can't stay on the phone very long.
Well, let's have you briefly, I know you called me earlier this week to announce you'd seen an incident of police misconduct that concerned you.
Yeah, shoot, hold on a second.
In fact, while Laura's away, I'll kind of brief you out there, callers, because we have spoken about this before. Laura is a former...
Hey.
Hi, she's back. Go ahead.
The police abuse. You know, I don't know what happened, and unfortunately, the three people that did witness the whole thing never filed a complaint, so maybe that's what we should talk about, is that when you see something, follow through. And how do you do that, which is what I did, is called Internal Affairs, and I also went to the Citizens Police Review Board, which is on, what is that, Center?
It's on Cedar Street.
Cedar. It's Cedar Street.
It's 915 Cedar. Actually, what you saw was you saw a woman in an alley behind the ID building in handcuffs, and
right.
Apparently she was crying out in pain because the handcuffs were on too tight.
I could see her hands were pink from all the way across the street. And you know what? Something that I realized after talking to the officers on the phone and whatnot, it just came to me the other morning as I was waking up, is I think one of the things that really disturbed me, too, is that she was young. She looked about college age and was dressed. I mean, I don't, you know, you can't tell whether someone's a lesbian or not, but... you know, she seemed to me like a college-age lesbian type.
Mm-hmm.
And since these women were just attacked up at Cabrillo, I think that it particularly struck me that, you know, she...
This may be related to sex preference.
Well, no, I'm sure it's not related to anything. It just kind of struck me because all of a sudden it seems like all these women are getting attacked,
gender
in my psyche.
Attack on women. Well, I know that you said that this attack was observed by three other people, including employees of a shop across the street and the ID building.
Yeah, they may have been, because I've gone back there twice now, they may have been just customers.
Or
and
customers.
Apparently they didn't file a complaint.
But what did they tell you? Their reports were that...
They said that she was... leaning up against the wall behind the ID building in the alleyway there between the parking garage and the ID building. She wasn't doing anything. And that the police officer came up to her and she stood up and talked to him. He put his hand on her shoulder. She shrugged it off and he took her to the ground and cuffed her.
Mm-hmm. They didn't even know what the actual charge was, right?
No, and then when I called Internal Affairs, the guy didn't even want my name or... where it was or when it was.
You should tell people that Internal Affairs is the Santa Cruz Police Department's supposed oversight internal body that takes complaints about police misconduct, right?
Right. So he said, well, there's any number of reasons why her hands could have been turning pink, and thanks for the information, have a good day, you know. And I was like, well,
I was Sergeant Sepulveda, right?
Right. I had to kind of force feed him all that information.
So he seemed to not to want to take a complaint and didn't want to get your name and didn't want to, even though you were obviously concerned about police misconduct.
Right, and then I went down to the CPRB, Citizens Police Review Board, and complained about the original incident as well as his behavior, and spoke with Salasis.
Oh, sorry, Lieutenant Velasquez.
And
Lieutenant Velasquez, I should be noted, is the man who jumped in front of the Mumia rally as they marched downtown and demanded they get off the street. He was, of course, one lieutenant, and there were hundreds of people, and they ignored him, but he was quite nasty to a number of people, and normally a very temperate, mellow, PR-oriented guy. But go ahead.
One idea that I had out of this, and I didn't get your, because I left it on your voicemail, what you thought about it, but one of the things he had suggested, we got to talking about different subjects of the, you know, just behavior of the Santa Cruz Police Department in general from my perspective.
Did he take your complaint about the guy who's supposed to head the complaint department, Sergeant Sepulveda?
Yeah.
Did he say he was going to file it, and Sepulveda's file was going to be in a complaint?
Yeah.
Because one of the clever things they do is they turn so-called complaints into inquiries that don't go any further than the department and are regarded as minor matters.
Oh, yeah, I think that is what happened, because you have a choice when you fill out the form, right? You can see different things.
Right.
And I checked inquiry, I believe.
Oh, no, bad idea.
So.
Yeah, go back and change it. That's my advice.
Okay, well, we'll just wait till the next incident. Anyway, one of the things that that he had suggested after, you know, I wanted to know, like, what kind of nonviolence training that they get, and conflict resolution, and, you know, if they get, have therapy available to them, and we kind of got onto that, those subjects, and one of the things he suggested was a ride-along.
That's what's delaying the seating of the new Citizens Police Review Board, is they're all waiting to do their little ride-alongs.
Ride-alongs. Well, I thought that maybe we could just flood them with ride-along requests.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, because if, especially on the homeless beat, for me, that's kind of or, you know, whatever your concern is, you could specifically ask for, like, for me, Officer Over, I'm real concerned about him because he seems, you know, really very out of control and a scary person and not, in control of himself.
Well, Officer Over, of course, is the partner of Officer Connor Curry, who shot Happy John Dine about a year and a half ago. Often homeless person, but I guess a person who was concerned with homeless rights and police brutality, Happy John was. You also have been involved in kind of monitoring the county sheriffs, and you want to tell us something about that, or should I summarize it?
Well, all I've been doing, and other people can do this too, especially if you are out there sleeping in your vehicle, and haven't gotten anyone else to do it yet, just me, but what we're doing is calling County Comm, which is, let me get that number here.
471-1121.
Yep. Call 471-1121 and say, you know, I've just said any number of different things. Like, the last time I talked to him, I said, well, I am, you know, I'm, well, actually, this is true. I'm losing my housing and considering going into, you know, buying an RV that I can be in with my little boy, because I can't afford housing in this area, and I'm kind of trying to scope out ahead of time, where can I park? Or, you know, what I said before that was I have some friends coming into town in a van. Can they park in Live Oak? Anywhere out of the city, you want to ask them about and see what their response is.
Because
so far it's been every single dispatcher that I've talked to has had a completely different story. They really don't know what they're supposed to tell people, what the law is, but the consistency has been that you will be... you know, that a deputy will come out and knock on your door and ask you to leave. And every time I always ask them, even if I'm not breaking any, or they or whoever is not breaking any other laws, yes, if a neighbor sees you and doesn't know who you are and calls, then you are a suspicious vehicle.
We should point out that the county has a much different law than the city. There's a big controversy in the city, which we've been talking about, where it's actually illegal to sleep in your vehicle at night. It's illegal to sleep on city property at night. But in the county, there isn't no such law at all. In fact,
well, that's true on the books, but the dispatchers are not aware of that.
Right. Well, I'm pointing out the law, and the law is that it is legal except for the Live Oak Beaches, Cal Foundation, Ocean Street Extension area, a very small area near the city, and the Paradise Park and Carbonera Creek areas. Again, very small, no camping zones near the city. It is completely legal in 95% of the county to pull your car over or even to lie outside in a sleeping bag on
okay,
the ground.
Okay, well, what the dispatcher will tell you is that it's going to make the neighbors nervous and that you're going to be woken up repeatedly throughout the night until you move.
And not only that, the dispatcher had told me the other day that it was illegal to sleep in the vehicle or outside on the ground, and that you had to go to a campground.
Yeah, I get the campground thing usually always, too, that, well, can't you go to a campground? You know, they can tell you where and how much it is. And then another thing that I get over and over again, I always tell them I live downtown, well, can't they stay in your driveway? Which
yeah.
I think is great.
Because the city law currently, it's illegal to do that, although there would maybe an exception made after April 23rd if the current cosmetic changes pass in the city.
Or if you're a Girl Scout.
We'll get into that in a moment. But the important thing here is I think that we have brought the attention of the Sheriff's Department to the fact that the dispatchers working with them and even their own employees, deputies, because we've talked to deputies too,
I know,
have been telling people it's illegal to sleep in the county, you have to go to a campground, when that is simply a bald-faced lie.
Right.
And it's intended to get people not to feel comfortable sleeping at night. It actually is a public health and safety hazard to force people on. And it penalizes poor people, particularly those who can't afford motels and hotels. And I encourage everyone out there to give a call to 471-1121, which is the Sheriff's Department dispatch. It's actually handled by a slightly different department, but it's being done for the sheriffs. And say, hi, I'm either in Davenport or in Live Oak, not on the beaches, you know, I'm off in the South County area. I need a place to sleep night in my vehicle. Is it okay if I pull over and sleep? And in fact, there's a further part of the law which says that you can actually sleep in your vehicle to do some roadside resting for a brief period of time, I think it's 5 hours or something, anywhere in the county, including the so-called no camping zones, the little zones mentioned before that are only 5% of the county. So I encourage people to give a call to 471-